Good morning. Again, I'll repeat what I said last week. It's not as bad as it sounds, but you do not need your Bible this morning. And that's because the scriptures will be on the screen. We're continuing in our series on making progress in your faith. This is number two, and we'll finish up next week. I hope you received one of these listening sheets. If you did not get a listen sheet, you can listen anyway. But it's just designed to help you a bit. So the verses will be on the screen. If you do have a listening sheet, I hope that you'll just take the time to fill that out. It'll help bring this home. Folks, this morning and every morning, I just want to remind you, we are talking about your soul. The eternal part of you. The part of you that is going to last forever. These are serious things. I hope you're in a serious mindset. These things make a difference. And I love talking about making progress in your faith. It's one of my favorite subjects because it's all through the Scripture. It's huge. There is a problem, though, and all of us can relate to it. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, run! Run in such a way that you can win. Run in such a way as to get the prize. But a lot of people, when they hear that word run, they think, nope, I'd rather ride. I don't want to run. That's too much work. It's difficult. I tried the whole jogging thing, but the tea kept sloshing out of my glass. I don't want to run. A lot of people just want a ticket to heaven. Just get me to heaven. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Now, I got all kinds of things I want to do before I get there. Wrong attitude. It really is. Jesus is for your progress in the faith. And we saw last week how it's commanded by Paul and Peter and John and the author of Hebrews. It's commanded by Jesus and wonderfully demonstrated by the Lord Jesus with his disciples. Remember how he initially called them? It was really a light invitation. The first thing he said to them was, just come and see. Come and hang out with me. Come and watch me. Come and see what I'm all about. And they did. And they started following him. Later on, he said, come and follow me. Later on, he said, remain in me. And ultimately, we see the progress of their faith where they went from just being curious onlookers to men who would die for the Lord Jesus. That is progress. I don't want to be a martyr. But I want to be at the point where I would die for the Lord Jesus. I want to know him like that. I want to love him like that. And more importantly, for hopefully everybody here, we should want to be to the point where we will live for Jesus. That's really what he's called us to do. And we talked about some of the myths and false conceptions about progress in our faith. It's not just for a few really interested or really passionate people. It's not optional. It is commanded for every believer. It is not age dependent. We saw last Wednesday night this amazing 14-year-old who was incredibly mature in his faith and used by God in a mighty, mighty way. It's not age dependent, and it is not dependent on your circumstances. You don't have to wait till things change before you start making progress in your faith. God intends for you to make progress with the job you have, with the family relationships you have, with the body you have. Progress in your faith doesn't depend on circumstances. And I want to emphasize that progress in your faith isn't just a change of lifestyle. It's not just losing some habits and gaining others. That's part of it. It's not just adopting a new code of ethics. Making progress in your faith is a change in your core, in your soul. Someone defined it this way: progress in your faith is the pursuit of Jesus, the race to know him, be like him, and make him known. That's progress in your faith. And I want to do something. I want to give you a helpful reminder at this point. It's not technically a part of the progress, but I just want to remind you of a glorious spiritual truth. A lot of Christians don't get it. And when you hear the preacher talking about run in such a way that you may win and making progress and all this sort of stuff, a lot of people automatically think, oh, drudgery, duty, pain, inconvenience, unpleasantness. No, no, no. I want to remind you that Jesus is for your joy. He emphasized this over and over again. I just want to go take you through some of the verses. Jesus said, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." That's Jesus' desire for you. Remember David, Psalm 23? "My cup is almost full." Some of you know better. Look at this one. "Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full." The joy of answered prayer, the joy of communicating with God and seeing Him respond. That's Jesus' desire for you. Let's keep going. "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Another one. That's a repeat. Okay, there it is. I can't get it straight. I'm sorry. John 17. This is Jesus praying for the disciples. So Jesus is talking to His Father about the disciples. "But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." So Jesus is praying to His Heavenly Father, and He's just reaffirming, this word I've given them, the Bible, is for their joy. In other words, He wants His joy in us. His joy, the fullest, most perfect joy in the universe, He wants to be inside of us. Do you see God's intention for you? It's wonderful. It's glorious. And so I asked the question last week, do you want this? Do you want this? Do you want this? When we talk about progress in the faith, and when you see what Jesus' desire is for you, you should say, yes, I want this. I want this progress. I want this to be true in my life. Now, last week we looked at the reality, the biblical reality. There is something in the New Testament called progress in your faith, and it is commanded. It's not automatic. It's not optional. It's not age dependent. There are people who've known Christ for decades, and yet they are spiritually immature. And there are young people who've known Christ a short time, but they are growing and glowing and filled with joy. So there is this thing commanded for every follower of Christ called progress in your faith. Today, in the second part of this series, we're going to talk about why it's better. We're going to talk about why it's better to make progress in your faith and why we should be trying to do it. Next week, we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of it and how we make it happen. Do you want this? And what I want to spend the rest of the time this morning doing is just looking at some reasons that it is better and some ways it is better. More progress equals more joy. Plain and simple. Let's look at some examples. Progress in your faith will include progress in knowledge. Look what Peter tells us. "But grow, make progress in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity." It is commanded. You grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's think about knowledge for a few minutes. We're followers of Christ. We come together. We look at the Word. We study God. Profound statement of the day. There's a lot to know. And you don't know it all. I talk a lot about this in age because I'm experiencing more and more age. And with age, there is some wisdom that naturally comes with growing old, right? It just happens. You get more and more experience. Even for a person with a real low IQ, they accumulate some wisdom. But there can also be an arrogance of age. I've lived so long, I've seen so much, blah, 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 blah. And there's a lack of humility and there's a lack of realization that there's a whole lot more to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't exhaust the knowledge of Him. He is infinite. No matter how much we've studied, no matter how old we are, how long we've been in the church, we don't know it all. And there is room, 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 room to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is so much better to do so. The more you understand God's grace, the more joy there is. You say, preacher, I understand that. We're saved by grace. Yes, but you don't understand it completely. You don't understand it all to its full depth because it goes on and on and on. And the more you study and the more you think about it, the more you realize His grace is incredible. It is really marvelous. The more you understand about Jesus, who He is, what He did, what it was like for Him to humble Himself and become a man, the incarnation, the perfect life, the substitutionary death on the cross and the glorious resurrection, the more you understand that, the more satisfying He is. The more satisfied you are in Jesus, the more glory you bring to Him and the better your life is. The more you know Jesus, the better you're able to trust Him. You don't know it all. You can know more. I love what we studied in Ephesians last Wednesday night. And I keep talking about that, but it is so amazing. We're in Ephesians chapter 3. And I think it's around verse 8. But Paul talks about the unfathomable riches of Christ. It's amazing. There's no end to them. Literally. That's in Ephesians 2. If you back up to Ephesians 1, you can look in verse 7, and he talks about the riches of Christ. If you look in chapter 2, I think it's verse 7, Paul says, in the ages to come, he's going to show us the riches of Christ. In eternity. We're going to spend eternity still discovering the riches of Christ. We start now. And we talked about how if you had enough time and you had enough money and maybe two or three lifetimes, you could see every beautiful thing on this earth. You could see every mountain range. You could go to every gorgeous city. You could visit every Sunday, every pretty city, every country. Maybe astronomy was your thing. If you had enough time and enough telescopes, maybe you could examine every star, maybe. And Jesus just spoke these things and they came into existence. There's so much more to know. Unfathomable riches. And they're all yours. If you know Jesus, you have them all because you are in Christ. There is a mystical, spiritual, eternal union with Jesus and His children. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The more you understand the gospel, it doesn't give you more license, but it gives you more freedom in this life. And the less legalistic you'll become the more you understand the gospel. The more you understand, the better you can help other people understand His purposes, His ways. And of course, knowledge about God, it comes from the Scriptures. Plain and simple. None of this, well, I think God's like this, and I've always imagined God's like this. No, we look at the Scriptures. Remember what Jesus said in John 17? These things I've told them, so their joy would be full. It's like climbing a mountain. The higher you get, the better the view gets. And the more accurately you can see what's around you. Oh, that city's over there, and that river runs on this side of it, and that river, it goes that way. The higher you get, the better the view is. Do you want that? Have you tasted that? Have you tasted an increased knowledge of God? And this can prevent errors. The better knowledge of God, the less wrong thinking you do. You know, something I see a lot is, well, the better you behave, the more Jesus will love you. wrong. Jesus loves you perfectly and fully. Yes, we want to behave. Yes, we want to follow him. But his love is not dependent on that. And of course, in American churches, in a lot of American churches, there's a lot of scriptural ignorance, which shows people don't really want that. Could you show someone the verse, a verse that shows our salvation is from grace and not works? Can you show someone a verse that shows Jesus is the only way to heaven? Can you show someone a verse that will show them how to come to know Jesus Christ? These are some of the basics. Everyone in here ought to be able to do that. Progress in your faith is progress in the knowledge of God. Number two, it's progress in your thinking. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, 20. Brothers, don't be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. Just look at that first part of that verse right now. It won't take you long to fill in the blank. But the reality that that points to, Paul wasn't writing to children. He was writing to adults. And so clearly, and the Corinthians had a lot of these people, you can have adults who follow Christ, name the name of Christ, and they think like children. And that is not a good thing. There can be Christians who are well up in age, fully matured physically, but spiritually they think like children. Now, it's fine for children to be immature, isn't it? Why? Because we don't give them much responsibility. They don't drive, they don't handle money, they don't get married, they don't have sex. So it's okay for them to be immature in their thinking. But adults have all kinds of responsibility, and immature spiritual thinking is dangerous and not the way it should be. And here comes where the need for humility again is, folks. You've known Christ for a long time. You've been faithful church member for a long time. Great. Praise the Lord. He's kept you. But do you realize you don't know it all? And you might have some wrong ways of thinking. That's necessary humility. I've told you this story before. I remember I was riding in the truck with my dad when I was a kid, and we had just had an unpleasant encounter with somebody. And I was talking to my dad about it, and he said, well, everybody goes through a stage where they think they know it all. And I looked at him, and I don't know, I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and I said, but did you go through a stage like that? And he said, Bill, everybody goes through a stage where they think they know it all. And I said, but did you go through a stage like that? And he said, everybody goes through a stage. I got it, man. And we're coasting. And like we said last week, if we're coasting, we're going downhill, not making progress in our thinking. If we're thinking spiritually, we make better decisions about work, about relationships, about church, about the use of time. And let's just be reminded, Christian thinking is radically different than the thinking of the rest of the world. Remember, think about the things Jesus said. Pray for your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Christian thinking is radically different. Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. I read the other day that people's number one news source nowadays is social media. Absolutely scary. It influences our thinking incredibly. And I guarantee you, if you're a follower of Christ and you're not taking this in a comprehensive, serious way, you're going to be influenced more by all these other sources of influence, and your thinking will go askew. What about your thinking of church? We see all kinds of errors. The way followers of Christ think about church, they think of it, well, it's a club that's there to serve me, and I put in my tithe, and I get these religious services from it. That's not what the church is for. People think involvement in the church, followers of Christ think involvement in the church is optional. But right thinking says it's the bride of Christ, the focus of his attention. what he's doing, what he's building, who he's coming back for. Wrong thinking, really spiritual maturity is about knowing what's important and what's not. Use the illustration of children. You have a little 3-year-old child up here on the platform. I'll offer him $150 cash or a toy from the latest Happy Meal. He's going to go for the toy. That's not a wise decision. It's not a mature decision. Do not be children in your thinking. I don't care if you're 60 years old or 75 years old or 40 years old. You can be a child in your thinking. And we don't want to do that. Progress in your thinking. Progress in your discernment. Look at Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Again, the author of Hebrews is pointing to the fact that just because you're adults doesn't mean you're mature, that you're making the progress you have. You know how valuable discernment is. You make fewer dumb mistakes the more discerning you are. Wrong thinking leads to wrong living, which leads to suffering. Think about the doctor. He knows, you know, everybody knows what unhealthy food is. The doctor knows what that unhealthy food does to your body. And he can describe it in way more the detail than you want to hear. I don't want to know. Just tell me what I can eat. The discerning believer, he knows what's going to hurt his soul. This is going to help my soul. This is going to hurt my soul. This is going to help me make progress. This is going to keep me from making progress. Our culture is persuading thousands of churches to abandon the Scripture. We've got to be discerning. We're flooded with information. We're flooded with ideas of what's right and wrong. We've got to be discerning to filter everything through the Scriptures. There's an old book now, maybe it was written in the 80s by Alan Bloom. It's called The Closing of the American Mind. And in that, he pointed out one of the major drawbacks of democracy. Don't get me wrong, I love democracy. I think it's the way to go. But one of the drawbacks is it tends to make people slaves of the majority opinion. And we've got this idea now of consensus. Well, if enough people agree on it, it's right. The majority says this is good and right, so it must be. No, we need discernment. The Scriptures tell us what is right and what is wrong. Progress in your faith means growing in discernment. Let's go to the next one. Progress in your fruit. Familiar passage from John 15. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. God's will for you is to bear much fruit. When you think about fruit in the Bible, just think of two ways. It's very easy. One is fruit in your own life. And that's really easy because that's described in detail. In Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I think I forgot one of them. But I can find where it is. Those qualities should be yours. And as Peter said, they should be increasing. Are they? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. You know how wonderful it is to live with somebody that's bearing the fruit of the Spirit, that is growing in those things? Do you want that? Yes, your spouse wants it for you, but do you want it? Your church members want it for you. The church members want it for the deacons. They want it for the pastor. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Can you find that? Peter said, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless or unfruitful for the kingdom of God. That's one kind of fruit. What's happening on the inside? Good changes. What's the other kind of fruit? What's happening in other people because of your life and your influence? You see it in your family. Maybe you teach a Sunday school class. Maybe you're the only believer in your office. And when people think of a follower of Christ, they look at you and you help them have a positive view of Christ. We saw in Ephesians, listen to this, that it is through the church, through his believers, that the manifold wisdom of God is made known. What a responsibility. We've got to show the world, and he's actually talking about angels, good and bad, what a great idea it was for God to send his Son to die for our sins. The manifold wisdom of God made known to the powers and authorities through the church. We better bear fruit. I've done funerals for big crowds. Sometimes the big crowd is because the person we're burying was rich and powerful. And the thing to do is to show up at their funeral. But then I've done funerals where there was a really big crowd, and the person who died wasn't rich, wasn't connected, wasn't powerful in the earthly sense. They simply bore a lot of fruit. People loved being around them because the fruit of the Spirit was just bounteous. So many people came because the person who died had borne so much fruit in so many other lives. And then, let's keep going. So progress in your knowledge, progress in your thinking, progress in discernment, progress in your fruit. And then Paul just sums it up in Ephesians 4:15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. I hate it when Christine looks at me and tells me to grow up. I've tried banishing the phrase from our household. Say, look, we're not going to have that phrase in this household, but I still hear it occasionally. But it's a good phrase, isn't it? And I do. I want to grow up in every way, bar none. Socially, professionally, monetarily, maritally, in every role God's called me to. I want to grow up. How about you? And you say, preacher, I'm in. What do we do? You need to come next week. But it's doable. It is for you. And why does Jesus want progress for you? This is going to be a test. It's really risky to do an impromptu test. But why does Jesus want us to make progress? For our joy. Thank you. Thank you. We are in a war. Understanding is critical. Discernment is crucial. Really, you could gauge the health of our church by whether we're helping people make progress in their faith, make disciples who make disciples. But you can judge the health of your walk with the Lord by the progress that you're making. It can be seen, it can be felt, yes, it can even be measured. Just tell the Lord. I'm going to ask Frank if he'll close us in prayer in just a second. But would you tell the Lord before he prays, I want to run in such a way as to win. Everybody bow their heads and close their eyes. Lord, I do want to make progress. I thank you that you are for our joy, that you're for fruit, that you're for us knowing you better, enjoying you more, being satisfied with you. Lord Jesus, I do want to make progress. And maybe it would be appropriate for you to say, Lord Jesus, I'm young, but I want to make progress. Lord Jesus, I'm middle age, but I want to make progress. Lord Jesus, I'm a senior citizen, and I want to make progress in my faith. I'll be back in the foyer around the tables. If you want to talk to me about this church or the condition of your soul or your progress, I'd love to talk with you. I hope you'll be heading toward a Bible study class. Hint, hint. That helps you make progress. We'll talk more about that next week. Frank, would you stand and lead us in prayer?